We are grateful for your presence among us today. And although quite a few of us are out of town this weekend, it is still good to be together. We have quite a few announcements this morning, as well as quite a few cards for me to go ahead and read. The basket offering, a couple of months ago, Council decided to do the basket offering on the first and third Sundays of the month. And so today is the third Sunday, and we'll have the basket offering go around for the scholarship fund. This week, we've got a couple of activities going on. The senior citizens are meeting on Wednesday at 10:30 at Mount Tabor. Say that again? We're back at the Small Fellowship Building. Okay. On Wednesday, worship and music meets from 6 to 7. Next Sunday is our silly trunk or treat party, and we are in need of a few more trunks. So there are two ways you can go about this. You can decorate your trunk and hand out candy, but don't let the pressure of decorating your trunk keep you from being a part of Trunk or Treat. If you just want to show up and hand out candy, that is just fine. But if you'll let Tina Heitman know whether or not you can do that, she'll get some numbers together. Also next Sunday, the handbell choir is going to practice at 3 p.m. We've gotten recently some phone calls and flyers needing help for Meals on Wheels. They are really, really short on volunteers right now. They just need folks to sign up for one route a month. It takes about 4 hours, but they are really in desperate need of volunteers to have a Meals on Wheels route. So if anyone is able to do that, we've got quite a few flyers available. Or you can go to Davidson County Senior Services online. I have several cards to read aloud this morning. The first is from someone who received a prayer shawl a couple of weeks ago. It's the caretaker for Marie Palmer's mom. She took care of Marie Palmer's mom for many, many years, and she says, "Thank you so much for the prayer shawl. You really are a blessing to make these and give them to people who are mourning, who are hopeless, helpless, and sad. The prayers are blessings, and they are an encouragement and strength and comfort and healing." So we've got that as a thank you for our prayer shawl ministry. From Davidson Medical Ministries, "Dear friends, thank you so much for your generous contribution to Davidson Medical Ministries. With each donation we receive, we become all that much closer to our goal of providing affordable care to those in the community who need it the most. Thank you for making a difference through your compassion and generosity. It is because of the generosity of people like you that we are able to accomplish anything at all. We are fortunate to work with such a generous congregation. Blessings to you and your families, Davidson Medical Ministries." This is from Brandon and Samantha and Maddie Everhart. "Dear Holly Grove Church family, thank you for your kind support, for your love shared, prayers lifted, for the baby shower, and for the prayer shawl. They have all brought so much comfort during our pregnancy. We would like to share a note of more good news this morning. Baby Maddie Lynn Everhart was born on October 12th. She is beautiful, happy, and healthy. We are completely blessed. Glory be to God. Brandon, Samantha, and Maddie." So Maddie was born this past Tuesday, and they are very, very happy. And this is from the Conrad family, Debbie and the Edely Conrad family. "Sometimes people give because they simply think they should. But when you give, I always know it comes from someplace good. Kindness comes straight from your heart. It's just a part of you. I'm so very thankful for the thoughtful things you do. Dear friends and family of Holly Grove, Mom was raised here and has always loved her Holly Grove family. In the past weeks, we have felt your love for her and for us as well. Thank you so much for all your cards, flowers, visits, food, and especially your thoughts and prayers. I don't know what people do at a time like this without a church family. Love, Debbie and the Etta Lee Conrad family. Let me see what else I've got here. We've got an addition to the prayer list this morning. I heard from Sandra Vaughn yesterday that her boyfriend, James Rozek, has been admitted to the hospital. He was having some chest pain and has been struggling with some long-term COVID symptoms, and so they've admitted him to the hospital to sort of observe him and figure out what's going on. So please pray for James and Sandra. And finally, All Saints Sunday is in 3 weeks, and this year we want to honor all of our members who have died in the past 2 years, since we didn't gather together in person last year for All Saints. So all of our members, as well as all of our friends and family. So you should have received a flyer like this in your email. We also have hard copies out by the doors. If you'd like to submit the names of friends or family that have died, please do so on this form and get it back to the church office. But if you'll include their name, their birth date, and their death date, we'd like to honor them on All Saints Sunday. So this week we have a couple of birthdays: Logan Turner, Wendy Lohr, and Bob Troutman. And we've got a couple of anniversaries: Dean and Tony Chapman, and Robert and Amanda Fritz. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray to the Lord. defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples on earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 91. Because you made the Lord your refuge, no evil will befall you. For God will give angels charge over you. Upon their hands they will bear you up. You will tread upon the lion cub and viper. I will deliver those who cling to me. They will call me and I will answer them.
I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them from their
With long life will I satisfy them.
And show them.
The second reading is from Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, at first glance, this should be an easy text to write a sermon about, or an easy text to hear a sermon about, because Jesus says this, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant." In sentimentality, we might think it's the perfect text to tell us about the power of service, about doing good things for others, how it's better to give than to receive. that Jesus doesn't want us to be selfish and greedy, that Jesus wants us to be generous and willing to serve others. It should be an easy sermon. But the problem is, we already know this. In fact, we know it a little too well. So well, in fact, that we have figured out how to take this sage wisdom and use it to our advantage. In elementary school, when it was time for a snack and everyone would need to line up, everybody would race toward the front of the line because you wanted to be first in line for that snack. But what happens then? The teacher takes pity on those who were slower to the line and says, "Okay, those at the back of the line, you get to go first." Everybody at the front of the line says, "Oh, man." Well, it didn't take long to figure that system out, that if you really want to be first, you just have to be slower and don't rush to the front of the line. You actually want to go to the back of the line if you want to be first. You let others go ahead of you, then you're more likely to be first. Whoever wishes to become great of you must become a servant. You see, we are much too smart for such simple wisdom because we know how to work that system. Businesses know how to be generous with their money so that it's a better tax write-off for them. Political candidates, all of them, no exemptions, know when to show up at the soup kitchen and when to wash a couple of dishes so that it shows their humanitarian side and encourages you to vote for them. Even high schoolers know that a summer of volunteer work will look great on a college or job application. So this should be an easy sermon about how we all need to go out and serve our community like Jesus asks us. But I've been haunted all week by this text and how we have misinterpreted it, because we have taken service in the name of Jesus hostage. We've used this, and it's being used, to benefit those who are seeking power rather than care for those who are powerless, which is what Jesus intended then and now. Now, if there is any comfort in this, it's that we aren't the first to take advantage of Jesus and serving others in his name. James and John, the sons of Zebedee and the disciples of Jesus, were guilty of it too. In the verses leading up to our gospel text today, Jesus had been telling his disciples all kinds of outrageous things. He'd been saying things like, "The kingdom of God belongs to those who are vulnerable. It belongs to those who are weak and powerless, like little children." He says that the way to inherit the kingdom of God is to go and sell all of your stuff and give it to the poor. Jesus says that those who are last will be first, and the first will be last. And he also has told his disciples so far three times that the road he is on leads straight to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the place where a cross of wood and a handful of nails are waiting for him. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus gives it to him straight and says, "I'm going to be killed. That's how this thing is going to go. I'm going to be killed. And that in order to be a follower of me, you need to follow me on that very same road to the cross by carrying your own cross." And so we get all the way up here to Mark chapter 10, and James and John stumble in. The first thing Mark reminds us is that they are sons of Zebedee. I don't know if you remember Zebedee, but he goes all the way back to chapter 1. He was fishing with his sons James and John back when Jesus came and called them to follow him. This one little detail here in Mark reminds us that James and John have been with Jesus since the very beginning of his public ministry, all the way back to chapter 1. They've been following Jesus for a long time, but they still don't get it. They don't get what Jesus is all about. They say to him, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever it is we ask you to do for us." This is a bold statement. And if we're truthful, it's not that unlike most of our prayers. "God, we want you to do as we say. Thank you very much." But James and John say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." The disciples are trying to control Jesus, what Jesus does and what he says. They want to have power over Jesus. But we all know, all too well, that when people get too much power, there's a tendency for others to get hurt. Still, Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Jesus, we want the best seats in the house. When you come into your glory, we want to make sure that we are sitting right next to you." They're kind of like the friends of a teenager that gets a brand new car. They also want to reap the benefits of the freedom that comes with this transportation. They want their own piece of the pie. They want to ride the coattails of Jesus all the way to the end when they will be richly rewarded. We can see what they're doing. They're cozying up to Jesus. They're figuring out how they can be the winners of this deal in following Jesus. They're the ones walking up slowly to the food line so that when they're actually the last in line, they'll get to be first. And we notice that the other disciples get mad because they didn't think of it first and because they want their own piece of the pie too. They just don't get it. They don't get, after all of this time with Jesus, what Jesus is saying and what he is about. And so Jesus has to break the news to them yet again. His path doesn't lead to glory. It leads to persecution. It leads to the cross. It leads to death. Not exactly the best ad campaign for the church, is it? But it is the truth. To be a follower of Jesus doesn't make your life easier. It makes it harder. This past week, in the absence of fall convo, the North Carolina Synod had a couple of Zoom sessions for pastors with Shane Claiborne, a theologian and social activist in Philadelphia. He says that he never got arrested before he was a Christian, only after he became a Christian. You see, in Philadelphia, in the last couple of years, they've passed some really awful laws aimed specifically at the homeless. They've made it illegal to sleep in public parks. They've made it illegal to lie down on the sidewalks, and they've banned all outdoor feeding of the homeless. It's a good thing Jesus didn't live in Philadelphia, because this would not have worked well for Jesus at all. Just think of the feeding of the 5,000. So Shane and his group of friends decided that they needed to do something about this. They held a worship service. They held it in the park and invited all of their homeless friends. and then they did something kind of sneaky. They knew that they couldn't feed the homeless there, so instead they served communion. And none of the police officers wanted to arrest anyone for taking communion, and so they pushed a little bit further. They continued the breaking of the bread by ordering in some pizzas. They spent several days in worship in this park with their homeless brothers and sisters. And finally, the police were ordered to arrest them for disorderly conduct, for sleeping in the park, and for eating in the park. Sometimes to be a follower of Jesus, to care for those whom Jesus calls us to care for, doesn't make our life easier. It makes it harder. The road that Jesus leads all of us on is the road to the cross. There's no throne waiting for Jesus when he gets to the cross, only a death sentence. And there are a couple of spots next to Jesus at the cross, one on his left and one on his right. But by then, James and John were nowhere to be found. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you what to do with this. It's up to you and the Holy Spirit to decide how you're going to respond to these difficult words of Jesus. All I really know is that Jesus calls us to follow him and to be servants in this world, not for any way that is to our own advantage, but in order to take care of those who are powerless. And if we're really being servants in the name of Christ, it will feel like risky business, because we'll be much more likely to lose something than we will be to gain something. If our service becomes a stepping stool for something greater for us, then we've missed the point, and we're no longer following Jesus. If there is any good news in this story, it's that the disciples don't get what it means to follow Jesus. And they aren't the only ones who don't get it either. But still, Jesus never asks the disciples to leave, even when they don't get it. He still invites them to the table for bread and wine, which means Jesus never gave up on them, and he'll never give up on us either. Amen.
living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Gospel's Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again.
He ascended
to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Set free from sin and death and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all of God's creation. Uniting God, you call forth different gifts to those who follow you. Encourage us to welcome the diverse benefits and blessings of the whole church in teaching, preaching, prophecy, healing, and more. Hear us, O God. Nurturing God, you bring forth crops from the soil and bounty from the trees. Increase the produce of the land and bless all who toil in fields and orchards. Provide for good working conditions and keep them safe. Hear us, O God. Empowering God, you offer compassion for those who are overlooked or forgotten. Open the hearts of local, national, and world leaders to show such compassion and love for their neighbors. Hear us, O God. Sheltering God, in Jesus, you traveled among us without a place to lay your head. Provide safe places to sleep and rest for those who have no place to live. Sustain ministries that offer food, clothing, and peace of mind. Hear us, O God. Comforting God, we pray for all who live with mental or physical illness. Help them find appropriate care. Bring healing and wholeness when the path forward seems bleak. We pray especially for Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, the family of Harold and Jimmy Beck, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven, and Tim, Grace, Debbie and Donnie, the family of Edalee Conrad, Duty, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God. Renewing God, you bring life out of death. Help us part with those things that are no longer beneficial to us and open our hearts to see where new life is budding in this congregation. Hear us, O God. Eternal God, we thank you for the lives of those who have died, especially Harold Beck. Make us confident in your promise of salvation and support us in our own journey of faith. Hear us, O God.
Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands. Through Jesus Christ, our truth and life. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the covenant, new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education in response to loving action to a new world. Go in peace, serve the Lord.